It sounds like a grand slam for the city of Boston. Revitalize a ramshackle waterfront lot and open it to the public. Build 85 units of desperately needed housing and boost tax revenue, and do it in a way that defends a section of the coastline from rising sea levels. But to some longtime residents of Dorchester's Port Norfolk neighborhood, all they see is more traffic, the arrival of 6- and 7-story buildings, and the absence of a plan to protect the neighborhood beyond the project site from flooding and rising sea levels. WBUR's Simone Rios has this story on the difficulty that could lie ahead for efforts to fortify Boston's waterfront against climate change.
My name is Ben Tankel. Same house for over 60 years, raised my family, and loved the neighborhood.
Tankel is a 90-year-old World War II vet who lives on the peninsula of Port Norfolk. It's a hybrid of Dorchester and Cape Cod, a waterfront neighborhood with an old nail factory next to a marina. The streets are lined with humble abodes, and neighbors know each other's names. When Tankel first arrived in the 1950s, crime was rampant, and residents were called port rats. Now, Tankel says, Port Norfolk is among the safest places in the city.
It's the community, away from all the helter-skelter. Houses are all about the same, kept in very good condition, and almost every one of them, once you pass away, it went down to the family. It's never sold. What a way to grow up. I want to live there, like we did in the West End.
Boston's West End. That's where Tankel was born and raised. It was once a dense Italian and Jewish enclave that in the 50s was bulldozed to clear the way for the development you see today around Mass General Hospital and TD Garden. To many, it was the epitome of the worst aspects of urban renewal. Tankel points out that the same agency that led the redevelopment of the West End is overseeing a big new construction project proposed on Port Norfolk. It was called the BRA, the Boston Redevelopment Authority. Now it goes by a different acronym, the BPDA. To Tankel, the development proposed for his neighborhood echoes of the neighborhood he lost.
The BRA knew what they were doing. We didn't. And it was too late. And that's what gets me peeved. You can change the name of a skunk, but once you smell it, that's a skunk.
Times have changed since the urban renewal drive of the 1950s and 60s. Climate resilience is a top priority, and developers are expected to build according to the forecasted rise in sea levels. The Neponset Wharf Project, as it's called, envisions 3 residential buildings and a boathouse for a total of nearly 250,000 square feet. Architect Kevin Diebler says the project would add clear environmental benefits to its 7.5-acre lot. That includes stabilizing the water's edge against coastal flooding.
There's a portion of our shoreline which is going to be made back into the soft marsh landscape. Portions of the seawall will come down and create areas for water to eddy in so that it slows down in its path and creates slightly more obstacles.
That description is familiar to anyone building on Boston's waterfront these days. The plan is to make nearly all of the surfaces permeable and add a tidal garden to dampen wave activity. But the neighbors opposing the Neponset Wharf project argue the resilience measures would only protect the project site, not the neighborhood behind it. And they're calling on the city not to issue permits, at least until more is known about the climate threat. Maria Lyons is with the Port Norfolk Civic Association.
It's one thing if somebody wanted to build a single family or a two family or whatnot, but when you're talking about multiple developments, that's a problem.
Boston Mayor Marty Walsh personally intervened on Port Norfolk. He asked the developers to go back to the drawing board and come up with a plan the neighbors will sign off on. While Neponset Wharf remains in a holding pattern, much of Boston's waterfront has been studied in granular detail through a city initiative known as Climate Ready Boston, from East Boston and Charlestown to Southie and the North End. Next comes Climate Ready Dorchester. Analysts will locate flooding flashpoints and deliver proposals to keep the waterfront above the water. Lyons says, wait until then before making any big decisions.
To me, that's the ultimate question. How can you approve anything until they come and really do a study? Are they going to be able to help us? What are they going to do? You know, what's going to be the future for this area?
In order to defend an area from the ocean, neighbors, landowners, and government agencies have to arrive at some level of consensus. But what's happening on Port Norfolk is perhaps a case study in how hard it is to satisfy stakeholders with opposing goals for a neighborhood. And that's not limited to Port Norfolk. A recent poll by the Conservation Law Foundation found that when people in Boston are asked about the greatest threat to the waterfront, nearly twice as many people say overdevelopment than say climate change. Those concerns are likely to spark attacks of not-in-my-backyardism. But Jesse Keenan, a resiliency expert at Harvard's Graduate School of Design, says opposition from NIMBYs can democratize the development process.
In the sense that it forces the real politics of the planning and execution of these investments to really give consideration to local communities.
But Keenan says neighbors often favor the status quo, and that can mean opposition even to resilient design.
Are they really thinking about the long term, or are they thinking about their short-term housing values? And I think that's a conflict that is difficult for public sector entities and agencies to navigate.
Some neighbors are backing the proposed development on Port Norfolk, saying it would increase property values and open up access to the water. John Ryan lives up the street from the site.
Brings up the neighborhood, go down there, walk around.
What's down there now? What's it like now?
It's just desert. It's just a boat, yeah, that's just sitting doing nothing.
The developers behind the Neponset Wharf project, City Point Capital, didn't respond to multiple requests for comment. But the man who sold them the land, Ralph Bruno, did.
I'm more to lose than anybody else if I don't put a good project in.
Bruno owns the luxurious restaurant and banquet hall Venezia, with views of the Rainbow Swash gas tank and airplanes flying over every few minutes. It's right next to the lot in dispute.
This would be a first-class hidden jewel in Port Norfolk.
Bruno doesn't think developers can wait until the city's climate assessment is released, because he doesn't know for certain when that will happen, and the business of development depends heavily on the state of the housing market. But Bruno says he's confident that the neighbors and the developers will come to an understanding as to how to change Port Norfolk. He says the port has experienced change in the past, despite having residents that will fight to have their say in development matters.
When I first came here in 1985, I said, oh my God, you're going to get killed with that neighborhood. I said, why? Oh, geez, they don't do this. Hey, you come up with something that makes sense, you know, you're going to have a tough time at the beginning, but people are going to realize, hey, this is good for us. If it's no good for them, it's no good for me either.
Bruno is skeptical of some extreme climate change scenarios, but he says he knows the ocean is encroaching, and he started to think about protections for his restaurant. Bruno says he wants to coordinate those efforts with Neponset Wharf. But if neighbors and developers continue to be at odds, the project will face a difficult path to getting the city to sign off, no matter what kind of adaptation measures are on the table. For 90.9 WBUR, I'm Simon Rios.